Yep. There was one time I remember you were working, you were doing like a late shift, right? You know, I put the kids to sleep, I fall asleep, I get up and it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's not there. I called his phone. No, it just goes straight to voicemail, right? So now I'm panicking because I checked my phone. There was no message from him. There was no text, no WhatsApp, no nothing from him. I'm panicking. I'm keep calling his phone straight to voicemail, not ringing, nothing. So now I'm freaking out. I'm checking on Twitter, CP24, to see if there were any car crashes on the highway. Yep. I'm checking the weather, you know, checking the internet, trying to listen to the radio, see if there were any accidents or anything like that. And nothing. When he finally calls, he was like, oh, my phone died.
Hey guys, welcome to the More Love Podcast. I am KR Moore.
And I'm Clavia Moore.
On our podcast, we'll talk about life, love,
family, friends,
and anything else you guys want to throw at us. Let's jump right into an all-new episode.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the More Love Podcast.
Welcome, welcome.
We are on season 2, episode 3.
Season 2, episode 3.
I am Clavia Moore.
And I'm KR Moore.
And this episode, we are talking about entrepreneurship and marriage.
Yes, yes, we are.
Yeah, so we're both entrepreneurs. It was a choice that we both made. I mean, for me...
For obvious reasons as well.
For obvious reasons. For me, it's kind of... I guess I kind of fell into it. It's like the natural path to being a hairstylist. A lot of hairstylists just becomes entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's actually facts.
Yeah. So, it was just like the natural progression of things for me. And then it just worked out for the best.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And for him, he just always wanted to work for himself. He never liked working for people.
Yep. That's true. But it's also it's how I came up. My family's, both sides, they are all entrepreneurs. They own shops. They own different businesses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, it's just a good way to make sure that, you know, you're always protected when it comes to your work and whatnot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You work for yourself. No one can fire you. You know, in a sense, as long as you do good work, you'll continue to get work steadily. You know what I mean? Unless a pandemic happens. But, you know, we're dealing with it.
All right. So we're going to get right into what's happening. For this episode.
Yeah.
What's happening?
KR. So if anyone lives in, you know, Toronto especially the East End, is it Durham region?
Durham region.
Oh, yeah. Durham region. A certain market, the Pickering Flea Market actually, that we all know and love and we all grew up with, is closing its door for good due to the pandemic. Yeah. So it's very, very sad news.
Yeah. They've been in business for 47 years.
Yeah, 47 years, man. And yeah, I have a lot of fond memories just going to the Pickering Flea Market and just walking through and checking out all the different vendors. And you know what I mean? It's very sad, but... it's reality right now. Yeah. A lot of businesses are closing their doors.
A lot of small businesses.
Yeah, and because the flea market is made up of a lot of vendors that rent spaces or booths, then, you know, if they're not able to maintain during the pandemic, then it's like it kind of trickles down. The market themselves still have a huge overhead to deal with.
Yeah.
And if no one's, you know, renting spaces, it's...
Yeah. Yep. I can imagine a lot of the vendors in there probably just, you know, packed up their stuff and was like, we can't afford to, you know, pay the rent, the monthly rent, right? If they're not able to open for business and they're getting less traffic because of social distancing measures. So it's really sad. We've taken the kids there. The kids have been there multiple times.
They've gotten
smoothies there, beef patties.
The little toys.
The donuts. Yeah. Right?
All the little toys and little trinkets. They love that stuff. It's just, we know that it's not the greatest toys, but it's just
the experience.
You know? Yeah. Clearly you can hear Kayla is a lot more active than she was before at 10 months no, 11 months, is it? No, 10 months now and 11 months next month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, February.
In 2 weeks.
February is a year. But yeah, she's chiming in as well, letting us know her opinions. Yeah, so that's what's happening today.
All right, so we're just going to go ahead and get right into the main segment.
The main segment.
We're just basically going to talk about how we became entrepreneurs, why we decided to become entrepreneurs, how it works for our family, what it doesn't work. And then after, we just kind of have some general tips for people who are married to entrepreneurs and things that you guys can do to make it a little bit easier. Because it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur takes a lot of work.
It does. It
takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of money. And so a lot of marriages actually don't make it through entrepreneurs. A lot of them are divorced.
Facts. That's big facts.
Right. So do you want to go first? Kind of talk about yours a little bit or maybe just why we chose
Well, yeah, the main reason why we decided to try to start working for ourselves is, when we had our firstborn, you know, he had sickle cell disease. You have sickle cell disease yourself.
Right.
But a lot of things we didn't know about it until we had Caleb, who was our firstborn.
Right.
And he has sickle cell.
Yeah.
And we've kind of also learned that everyone that has sickle cell gets affected a little differently. Mm-hmm. And he happens to be one of they call them sicklers sometimes. He happens to be one of them that is affected more, where he gets more crises.
Pain crises.
Yeah. And he has to go to the hospital more and things like that. And we both kind of took turns bringing him to the hospital and staying overnight and staying in. And sometimes he's in there for a few days or a week or as much as 2 weeks sometimes. And when you miss that much work, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter how many notes you bring in. Your employer starts to get a little frustrated after a while.
They do. You know what I mean? Because we miss a lot of work. And at that time, we weren't working for ourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Calling in sick.
So we would rotate to a lot of jobs because we would lose jobs all the while, having to take a lot of time off to go to the hospital and things like that. And, you know, it's not something that you want to keep asking people, oh, can you go with them? You know what I mean? And
right.
Plus, you want to be there.
If your
kid is not well, you want to be there with them. So it was a no-brainer. It was a choice that we had to make. But the aftermath was we kept losing a lot of jobs. So that was one of the main reasons why we decided that we needed to start trying to do something for ourselves. You know what I mean? Any way we can work for ourselves. And that's the start of it, you know?
Yeah, basically. So it works for us because we can alter our schedule, our work schedule, to fit our home schedule. So whatever needs to be taken care of at home, we just kind of do that stuff first, and we're able to schedule, you know, our clients and everything else around what we're doing at home.
Right.
So that, and then it's really good because we're able to, you know, go to the parent-teacher interviews.
Exactly.
We're able to, you know, take the kids to their baseball games and take them to their practices and stuff like that, and just be present with them in the things that they're doing and spending time with them, the time that really matters.
Yes.
You know, because they're going to become teenagers and they're not going to want to spend time with us. They're going to want to hang out with their friends. They're going to be on their phones and stuff like that. So right now it's just more important to spend that time with them, you know?
Yeah, the golden years, you know? So we're taking advantage of that now before, you know, it gets to the point where we have to stop like a block down the road so they can walk to school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just trying to enjoy it as much as we can. But it also sets us up where if something happens, we have the opportunity to go to the hospital, and it's a lot more flexible that way for us. So that was, like I said, that was the main reason. You know, so I used to freelance a lot, recording people and doing different things, mixing and stuff like that. And that's still working for me now a lot better, especially pandemic, mm-hmm. I'm able to do a lot of stuff remotely. Yep. You know what I mean? Just to maintain and actually keep all the bills going and keep the family fed and things like that, you know, which is super important, you know. Mm-hmm. I was concerned at first how I was going to make things happen. But, you know, God willing, we're pulling through. We're pulling through.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And unfortunately, the bulk of my income mm-hmm. is having to see people face to face.
Yep.
So I'm not doing that right now, mm-hmm. but I was able to pivot a little bit and, yeah. Do some other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it works.
Yeah. Like you're doing, you started crocheting. I have no idea that I didn't see it coming. I did not see that coming. She picked up a crochet needle and she started crocheting, guys. And
not just, off the hook. I already knew how to do it. I didn't just in my mind.
I had no idea. I was like, who is this person? You know what I mean? You crochet and knit? Like what? Yeah, so all she's missing in those, you know, those glasses, the cat glasses, and yeah, you know what I'm talking about. but yeah, anyway, she started crocheting, she started selling hair products online, mm-hmm. And she started sewing bonnets and scrunchies mm-hmm. and things like that, and she's getting
I'm getting it
a good amount of sales. She's getting a good amount of sales, and a lot of the sales are also coming from like the States and Vancouver, all over the country, man. It's super dope. I'm super proud of her.
It's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's also the important part of us being entrepreneurs is we're able to do what we need to do from wherever we are. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
We can go wherever and just build when we need to build. You know, so I think that's also very important.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about our work and mm-hmm. working for ourselves, the way I see it is if tomorrow we're like, oh, we're going to move to, I don't know, like Alberta or
Timbuktu
or wherever the case. For me, I always say as long as I have my hands, mm-hmm. I'll never be out of work.
That's facts.
Right? Because I'm a tradesperson at heart. Mm-hmm. And I guess the same thing for him. But for him, it's more so as long as he has his computer and his laptop,
yeah.
he can work from anywhere.
I mean, I could do all kinds of work. Like,
he can do all kinds of work.
I came off doing construction with my dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's say for some reason, like technology just shuts down and that's not a thing no more. I could still do.
He can get by.
I could work with my hands.
He can do some things.
I can work with my hands. I know how to do drywalling. I know how to paint. I learned how to drive.
An excavator machine
in a matter of probably, I'd say 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like flawlessly. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
And it's once I got in there, I had to feel out the controls and finesse it a little bit, feel how, you know, how much I need to make things move and things like that.
Yeah.
And then once I got it, I was just moving everything like in smooth motion.
I think it's just the way your brain works. Like for my brain, I want to read the manual first.
Yeah.
I need the technical side, like the written technical stuff first. Whereas him, he's just like, I'm going to just learn through doing it.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, but I need to. And that's, we balance ourselves out because he'll be like, let's build this bookcase. Mm-hmm. And he just opens the box, takes all the stuff out.
And start putting it together. Like a puzzle. It's Tetris.
I think other wives know how this goes. Mm-hmm. Because then here comes me and I have to open the thing and be like, no, this goes there, this goes there. Mm-hmm. You know, because he'll finish and there'll be like three screws with us. And I'm like, where do these go? He goes, it doesn't matter because it's together. And it's extra screws.
Sometimes they give you extra screws.
Sometimes they do. You know, but like you just want to make sure.
In case you lose a screw, you know, here's some extra screws.
He was putting together the bed and I'm like, there's a screw left. And he's like, oh, don't worry. It's okay. Like it's dirty. Nothing's going to happen. And I'm like, it better not.
And nothing happened years later and this bed is still standing.
I'm just saying.
With that one screw out. So, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's how I do things, man. Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity to do a bunch of excavation jobs, working with my dad, doing weeping tiles and cutting out basements, digging out walkouts for basements and things like that.
I think your dad is like the master of pivoting and being an
entrepreneur. Oh yeah, he's super dope at that.
Like he
super dope at that. Because once he used to work at a factory, and once the factory shut down, he's like, all right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And before we came to Canada, he also used to work for himself in Jamaica, and he built a we got a lot of land in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So he had built a black factory, a block factory, on a part of his land. Mm-hmm. And he was selling blocks to, you know, all the builders down there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, now he's like in the buy and sell business when it comes to like construction equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's just the, like you said, the master
he's
at
like
pivoting.
He's like the master of pivoting. Yeah, when things don't go a certain way, yeah. That's what you have to do with life, right?
Exactly.
Because things never go the way that you think it's gonna go.
Exactly.
It's great if you start a business and, you know, that business goes from point A to B, you're able to hand it down to your kids or whatever, but mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily happen that way. Sometimes businesses have to close for various reasons.
Yep.
Or you may lose your job if you work with a company, you know, for whatever reason, and you just have to pivot and, you know, refocus and
you gotta make it happen.
Yeah, you gotta make it happen.
Yeah, you just always have to be open-minded and you know, sometimes the decisions you look like you're gonna make is seems crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know in your mind and your heart where you're trying to get to and mm-hmm. the path that you have to take to get there. And sometimes it's scary. Mm-hmm. But if you don't try or if you don't execute, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what is like some of the difficulties that we face being entrepreneurs? So I think everyone sees like an entrepreneur as someone who is very successful and they don't really have like financial issues. They've got it mm-hmm. all together. They're so lucky because they work for themselves. They don't have to clock in. But I mean, it's hard work.
I think society makes a lot of things a lot more difficult for
entrepreneurs
yes. or self-employed people, especially when you got to go to the banks.
Listen, when tax time comes.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
So a lot of people see us like, oh, we're free. We get to do this and that, which, you know, in a sense we are.
Yep.
We're living off of what we love to do.
Right. Which is a blessing.
Yeah. But then it's like when we're trying to do certain things, we have to take an extra step that, you know, the regular 9-to-5, and not to knock anyone working 9-to-5.
No.
You know what I mean? We have to take an extra step to do this, this, and that. We have to show extra proof of everything. We have mm-hmm. to show extra proof of income.
Yep.
We have to show extra proof that we can manage our finances, we can manage our bills and things like that. You know what I mean? And mind you, we've been working full-time, both of us, for at least 8, if not 9 years.
Yeah.
And then another 8 years for me was like freelancing part-time while mm-hmm. I was working a regular 9-to-5.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that a lot of people don't see. There's actually a lot of work when you're trying to build in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you may have to take on 2 or 3 jobs. I was delivering newspapers at one point from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then from 9 p.m. to 5 I was in a call center, and then I would leave from the call center, come home, eat some food, and then go to the studio for another few hours in the night, and then come back home and then repeat that cycle again.
You did overnight at factories before.
Like I worked overnight, night shifts.
You've helped your dad out.
Yep.
Right?
Been doing working jobs with my dad. And all that while I'm still, you know, mixing and mastering people's records and things like that. You know what I mean? Where yourself, you were working part time at Telus while you were going to school when you were just starting.
Yeah.
You know, when you finished school, you were
pick the kids up.
Yeah, it was hectic.
It was a lot.
Pick the kids up, drop them off. I meet her at her work. I'll come from my job on the bus, meet with her. We had a minivan at the time.
Uh huh.
run home, make dinner, get the kids ready for bed. And then when you're done work, if they're in bed, you know, I'll rush out while your mom is there and come pick you up. We're like probably, 20 minutes away from home?
Yeah,
it was just...
It was hectic, y'all.
We got to where we are now, so...
Yeah, and now I think one of the difficulties that we have sometimes is being workaholics.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with having your own business... There's no clock in and clock out.
Yeah.
When you own a business, there is no 9 to 5. There is no 10 to 7, 11 to 8. You know? You just do the work because it needs to be done. And that's what your business needs to carry on. You just do the work. So sometimes we can become workaholics.
Yeah.
Right? You're sitting behind the computer or whatever. And you realize, oh, crap. I've been here like all day. Mm-hmm. Barely taking a break.
Yep, you don't even notice that you haven't eaten sometimes, you know.
We haven't seen each other for like 5 hours, but we're in the same house.
I know. So, yeah, we've definitely been working on balance.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important as anyone that works for yourself. You still have to, you don't clock in or clock out, but you still have to know that, okay, I'm going to work X amount of hours.
Yeah.
Steadily focused on this. And then once I get to that point, I'll pick back up tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There are times where you may have to go past your regular schedule time, that you're trying to set, if there's like a deadline that needs to be met and things like that. And for you, it's like orders that need to get out at a certain time so the shipment can meet the required time and things like that, you know.
We're gonna move on.
Yeah.
So I was online, you know, reading some articles about entrepreneurship and marriage. So I saw like a lot of things that basically people go through when they're married to a business owner.
Right.
Or I should say, when they're married to someone who's an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And they normally have like just, you know, difficulties dealing with it because it comes with a lot. And especially when you have a 9 to 5 and then your spouse works for themselves.
Yeah.
There's going to be friction there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what the main thing that puts a strain on the marriage is the finances.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see that. Especially because, you know, as we were saying, a lot of times you got to come out of pocket.
Yeah.
For your business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you have, like, say, a joint account and then you have to dip into that account to make something work, you know what I mean? Then, you know, your spouse may not see eye to eye with that because they're going to a regular 9 to 5. Again, not to knock people that work 9 to 5, but a lot of people that are with entrepreneurs kind of seem like, oh, you're just doing like a hobby, or you're just trying to do this. You know, you're always trying to do this. You know what I'm saying? And
it's sometimes not bringing in enough money, and we need bringing to pay in enough bills.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, like they say, love don't pay the bills, right?
Exactly.
So that puts a lot of strain.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, it could be draining for someone that is not an entrepreneur trying to support someone that is an entrepreneur, especially if the business hasn't picked up as yet. You
at
know what I mean?
Yep.
At the beginning, there could be a whole lot of friction there.
It takes money to make money.
Absolutely.
All right. So the next thing, they feel like the business becomes more important than their family. Mm-hmm. Because like we said before, when you're an entrepreneur, there's no clocking in and out.
Right, right.
There's no 9 to 5. You gotta do all that work. You don't, especially at the beginning of your business, or it doesn't even matter at the beginning. It could be the middle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have enough of the finances to hire staff. It depends on how big or small your business is, right? It could just be you, right? You don't have an assistant or anything. So you have to do
You're
the
doing
work.
All the work. You're wearing multiple hats.
So your spouse...
Yeah, they may feel lonely a lot of times. They don't feel like you're spending enough time with them.
Yep.
You're doing too much on your business and you're not focused on him or her.
Or the family.
You know what I mean?
Spending time with the kids.
Exactly. So it's like there becomes problems there as well. Even if the bills are paid and things like that, now you're not spending enough time with the family because you're doing admin work, you're doing the actual muscle work,
you're doing everything,
you're doing customer service, you're marketing, you're doing multiple parts of, you're handling multiple parts of your business, wearing different hats all the time, and it hardly leaves time for you to spend time with the family because by the time you get home, from the office, just like you just want to knock out because mm-hmm. you're so exhausted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. So I could see definitely where that can cause an issue.
All right. So we got a few tips because, mm-hmm. you know, we like to give tips. Yeah. We got a few tips. So to help with the difficulties mm-hmm. of maybe someone who is married, or if you're in a marriage, you're both entrepreneurs. One person is an entrepreneur, but we have researched and I saw a few tips online mm-hmm. that I think could be helpful in terms of just helping to ease the strain a little bit.
Right.
So the first thing is communication.
Yeah. We've always talked about communication. Yeah.
So the first thing is to improve your communication.
Yeah.
Because when you're not speaking about your feelings, how you're feeling in the situation, mm-hmm. then it puts a strain because you're feeling resentful.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to resentment and anger, frustration, mm-hmm. fault, you know, blaming.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, communication is always the key. It doesn't matter what relationship you're in. Even it could be friendship, it could be relationship between you and your siblings. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, in this case, it's with your spouse and someone that's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, if you're not communicating, or if there's a breakdown of communication, all sorts of things can go wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People start to feel resentful. They feel ignored. They feel like, you know what I mean? You haven't taken time out to you know, speak to them or whatever the case is. But yeah, that, I think that's definitely a very important thing. If you're, you know, married to an entrepreneur,
yeah,
and you're feeling certain ways, you know,
you gotta speak up.
You gotta speak up. Let them know where you're at, and
how you
they
feel.
Can let you know where they're at, and then you can try to come to a middle ground. See how you can make things work. You know?
Yeah, because I know, like, it's even hard. Just the simplest things. Because even if it's like, because sometimes even me being an entrepreneur, understanding what goes into it, mm-hmm. sometimes he would be like working late at the studio, mm-hmm. right? I know. So his shift is like 10 to 7, right? He mm-hmm. works 10 to 7. And I'm like, okay, his last session ends at 7. Mm-hmm. So he should be home by 8. You know, maybe 8:30 the latest if it runs a little bit over. So I'll be like, it's 9 o'clock. He didn't text. He didn't call. Mm-hmm. It's 9:30. He's not home. Like, I get upset. Because mm-hmm. also, I'll be like, man, I've been home all day with these kids. I just mm-hmm. need a little break. Right?
Yep.
So, and I get upset. And even me, myself, knowing... Mm-hmm. Like sometimes what can happen, his client could have been late, which he has no control over. Mm-hmm. He could have run into technical difficulties with the equipment, and that could have pushed over, you know, the time that he has to spend. But I would still be upset knowing the things that could happen.
Yep.
There was one time I remember mm-hmm. you were working, you were doing like a late shift, right?
Yeah.
And so this is when you used to work later. Like you'd finish at 11 or 12 at night. Mm-hmm. And you know, I put the kids to sleep. I fall asleep. I get up and it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's not there. I called his phone. No, it just goes straight to voicemail. Mm-hmm. Right. So now I'm panicking because I checked my phone. There was no message from him. There was mm-hmm. no text, no WhatsApp, no nothing from him. Mm-hmm. I'm panicking. I'm keep calling his phone straight to voicemail, not ringing, nothing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm freaking out. I'm checking on Twitter, CP24, to see if there were any car crashes on the highway. Yep. I'm checking the weather, you know, checking the internet, trying to listen to the radio, see if there were any accidents or anything like that, and mm-hmm. nothing.
Yep.
And then, you know, when he finally calls, he was like, oh, my phone died. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that?
I
You were like, my phone, I don't know if it was someone that you did an extra session for. So you end up staying there till like 5 in the morning, something. I don't know.
No. You know what? That was a session we did. I think it was Jadakiss.
Yeah.
It was Jadakiss. And my phone died. There was an entourage.
Pissed.
There was an entourage in the studio. And my phone died and I hadn't realized. And I had already worked a full day with clients.
Yep.
And then Jadakiss and them called and wanted to come to the studio to record a couple of future verses at the time. And I hadn't realized my phone had died and I didn't have my charger with me. And there was just a bunch of people there and it was just chaos. You know what I mean? And I hadn't messaged her and I was just all caught up in this moment. And yeah, she was...
I was pissed.
She was pissed. But you know what? We spoke about it. And again, it was a communication thing. Because I could have borrowed a phone. I could have called. I could have... You know what I mean? But it didn't go down that way.
Listen, if it was him, he would have gotten in that car and he would have probably drove to my work. He would have pulled up.
Like, yo, are you good?
Yeah, he would.
No, but I get it. I completely get it. And ever since that, it's like I make sure if I'm going to be in even 20 minutes late, I'm messaging or I'm calling and letting you know what's happening. This client was late. They want to pay for extra time. You know what I mean? Or we had technical difficulties. I'm going to have to give them back extra time or whatever the case may be. And yeah, it was, again, all about the communication piece of it, aspect of it, you know? So once we figured that out, that never became an issue again.
Never became an issue again.
You know what I mean? Because she always knows where I'm at and what's happening at work and why I'm, and she knew what time to expect me.
And usually I'm pretty chill. Usually normally, I'm like...
Normally, yeah. That whatever, that session went
but that
until...
That was late. That was like...
It was literally the next day. That session went until like 10 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah,
it was like super late. You know what I mean?
He did end up calling, like when he realized his phone had died. He ended up calling, I don't know, like 4 or 5 in the morning. Yeah. But damn.
But it was already past the fact, you know.
But damn.
Yeah, that was a long session.
Because usually I would wake up and then he'd be there. I wouldn't even hear him come in. Mm-hmm. So when I woke up and he wasn't there, and I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell?
You know, but that never happened again. You know what I mean?
Stress.
All kind of stress, you know? But yeah, man, that's why I think definitely sitting down and speaking to your spouse and letting them know where you're at, being on the same page at all times, I think that's super important. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what career you're in or what business venture you're trying to pursue. Communication with whoever you're with is important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Even in business, communication is important with whoever you're trying to work with or your clients or whatever the case may be or partners. If that communication piece is not there, you're going to have a hard time being successful. You know what I mean? So same thing in your relationship at home with your spouse. You know, they can only support you if they know exactly what's happening.
You know what I mean? Basically. All right. So the next tip that we have that I found online. So I found this one interesting. Mm-hmm. This one said, work on yourself instead of focusing on your spouse's faults.
Ooh. Okay.
Which I can understand that, right?
Yeah.
Working on yourself. So I guess they mean like things that you may have an issue with. Maybe find out what it's stemming from. So are you upset or because you're feeling insecure?
Yeah.
So then maybe why are you feeling insecure type of thing? So working on yourself and figuring out what is triggering you to have this feeling towards your spouse for them doing whatever it is they're doing. It doesn't excuse what they're doing, but I think they just basically are saying you're going to be less stressed when you're focusing on yourself as opposed to always focusing on he never does this and he's always late and he doesn't help me pick the kids up and he doesn't show up to their practices, that kind of stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Working on things that, you know, you think may be causing the friction.
Yeah.
You know, and then probably working on that can eliminate the friction or ease the friction. But again, I still think that communication piece goes hand in hand with that.
Yeah.
Because if they know what's happening also, they can also work on themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, so, no, for sure. Both people should be working on
it. It should go
themselves.
Both ways. I think it shouldn't just be
one person, but both people should focus on themselves and working on themselves and then coming together
and working on things together. Exactly. I think that's I understand that. I get it.
Yeah. Another one is be patient with each other, right? So as an entrepreneur, you have to be patient with the person that works the 9-to-5 because they may not necessarily understand where you're coming from.
Exactly.
And then as a person that works the 9-to-5 understands that there is no clocking in and out for someone who owns their own business.
And it takes time to build a business. You know what I mean?
Right.
It takes time for you to break even before you really start to see profit. So there's going to be times where you're going to have to be putting up a working cash flow. So you want to be patient with what's happening and see where the business is going.
Yeah.
And try not to be resentful of, oh, he's using up all the money, or she's spending too much on equipment, or yeah, whatever the case is.
Yep.
You got to look at the long run, you know, the big picture. Where are they trying to get to? And does the business look, you know, promising?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah. And the last one that I have is basically working on your own mental well-being. So they said change your inner environment. Mm-hmm. So from a stressful, anxious, angry place, and try to change it into something that's calm, safe, peaceful. Mm-hmm. Right. So that, I guess that has a lot to do with, like, again, kind of working on yourself.
Yeah.
Or even.
Ooh, look at that. That was a sale. She just made a sale while we're on this podcast.
Let me just put that on my
Yeah, you hear that? Cha-ching.
I like to hear that sound.
Yeah, that's money right there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it goes hand in hand maybe with working on yourself. Mm-hmm. So are you in a stressful environment? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, outward and in, because your outer environment is going to affect your inner environment.
Facts.
So inwardly, I guess working on that maybe would be
meditating,
doing some yoga.
Pick up a hobby, you know, find something that you like to do.
Stress relief, right? Yeah. And maybe you need to cleanse your environment. Like, mm-hmm. is there things or people in your environment that are stressing you out? That's putting a strain on yourself and your relationship?
Exactly. Sometimes being around negative people can really bring a strain on your relationship, and a strain on, if you're the entrepreneur, a strain on what you're trying to do business-wise and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe do you have a friend that's always like, well, when they come over, you know, to hang out with you, they'd be like, well, I see your husband's not here again. Where is he working again?
Yep,
like,
yep,
that you don't
type
need
of
those
thing.
Negative digs, because that's going to set you off, because you feel, you may feel embarrassed.
Or the friend
you
that just
want to feel horrible. Yeah.
Or the friend that just wants to party and drink all the time. You know, so now you end up spending money instead of trying to invest.
Right.
You know, again, as an entrepreneur. You know what
so,
I mean?
So, I mean.
Yeah, there's different aspects
there's
of it.
There's different.
So you just have to really look at, you know, who you're surrounding yourself with. Surround yourself with positive and like-minded people.
Yep.
You know what I mean? To get to where you're trying to get to. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. That's it. That's so, it. I mean, we're able to both be self-employed and still have a marriage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's pretty doable if it's like one person, because we both weren't self-employed at the same time.
Yeah.
Like throughout the whole relationship, I worked a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. He worked several part-time jobs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't always we both worked for ourselves.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
You know, we definitely kind of figured out how to navigate the waters of being self-employed people who happen to be married to each other and have a family and do all these other crazy things.
Yeah, and I think what was great about our situation is once things picked up for myself and you started working for yourself, I was then able to support and push you with everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I also had knowledge to pass on to you for you and your business, you know,
we're
what I mean?
Able to help
so,
each other.
Yeah, we're
out,
able to help each other out. So I think that was super important, and I'm very happy that we were able to do that, because a lot of people would clash heads, you know, trying to do things by themselves. You know what I mean?
I think I actually have another point that might help. Like, if someone is married to someone who's self-employed and they kind of work a 9-to-5, get involved in their business, because then you're able to see the kind of work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to spend more time with them if you're involved, and you're also able to feel like you're included and you're not on the outside looking in.
Exactly.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you never know, you may end up becoming a person that works, you know, with
your husband
or wife to get the business moving, and you may not end up working a 9-to-5 anymore, and before next thing you know, you guys are working on a business together
exactly, and you're building a legacy for your kids.
It now becomes a family business that you guys run together, and you're making enough to sustain the household and you know, move on.
Now if your spouse doesn't want you involved in their business, that's a whole
That's another podcast.
That's a whole nother issue. Okay?
That's a different podcast for a different day.
We can't get into that right now. Yeah. But yeah, so that's our take on entrepreneurship and being married. Yep. Leave a comment on YouTube. Let us know what you guys think. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you have any other tips for us. Let us know if you have any topic suggestions, because we would love to hear what you guys want to hear about.
Yeah. I agree. Leave your comments down below. Let us know if anyone of you guys are entrepreneurs or self-employed.
Or married to someone that is.
And let us know some of the obstacles that you're facing. And hopefully we gave you guys some pointers that can help out or at least get you on your way.
Yeah.
You know? I think that is it.
That's it.
All right. Well, we thank you guys for sticking around. You can follow us
at More Love Fam on Instagram.
And our website is
www.morelovefamily.com. Yeah. It's the first time I said www.
You know, yeah, I don't know why you said that.
Morelovefamily.com.
Morelovefamily.com. And if you are listening on Apple or Podbean, please rate and leave us a review.
Leave us a review. We would love if you could do that.
And if you're listening on Spotify, just share.
Share it.
And YouTube, just like, share, subscribe. And I think that's it. Until next time, more love.
Feel free to reach out to us at any time. Your comments, likes, and shares go a long way. You can connect with us on Instagram @MoreLoveFam and @MoreLoveFamily across all other platforms.